I got an email today from a listener who's in touch with a whole lot of things that go on in Cape Town, and he pointed to me some sort of technical communication from people involved in the port, suggesting that there's a worry about shipping lines once again skipping Cape Town. And the opening sentence of the email to me said, because of the impact of wind-related disruption to schedule integrity. To discuss this, we're joined by Terry Gale, the chairperson of the Exporters Club for the Western Cape. Terry, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, John. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.
What's the problem? Is it wind which affects the cranes that would take the cargo off and put the cargo on to the ships? Is it wind which affects ships getting safely and quickly into and out of a harbour? A bit of both?
Well, it's actually a combination of both. What has actually happened, and I think we just have to go back a little bit in time, and looking at historically where the Cape Town main terminal was built in the 70s, which of course is in the worst part of the southeaster. It funnels down the side of Devil's Peak, so geographically the port in actual fact or the terminal was built or constructed in the incorrect area, which doesn't help, and in those days wasn't too bad, but of course we're having, and I think maybe it is global warming. We have found this season in particular, we have actually been really, really strongly hit by the wind, the major wind problem. And just as you were saying as well, you are correct, because the wind, the gantries, that the ship-to-shore cranes cannot operate over 90 kilometers an hour wind. Obviously, you can, when you look at those huge structures on the quayside, you can actually appreciate that they cannot operate. So we have been struck, just to give you an example, since the 26th of, which lost since last Friday and as of yesterday, today, the port was wind down for a total of 56 hours. So that has a huge impact. And we, by windbound, we mean that the gantries cannot operate, the truckers can't get their trucks in with the containers. The port basically comes to a standstill. So at this, and I think the week before, we had 74 hours, the port was windbound. And then now, just to add to that, we have a double whammy, because now the wind, we're going into the month of March, which traditionally is not as bad as the wind is. But of course, now we're getting fog in the morning. And this morning, the port was fogbound from 4 o'clock till 25 past 8. So we actually are sitting at a moment that we all can't win. Now, taking to this perspective from the shipping lines point of view as well, they obviously have to keep to a certain schedule, and we sit at the moment with a 9-day berthing delay in Cape Town.
Nine days
at the moment. As of yesterday, we had 6 vessels out in the anchorage waiting to berth. We had 3 alongside the quay, and as I say, we are sitting with a berthing delay. Everything being normal, shall we say, with no further delays, no wind delays or anything like that, we have a 9-day berthing delay, which you can imagine the impact it takes, has on the shipping lines as well.
And one shipping line at least, Maersk, has decided for the time being anyway to bypass and go and offload at Kruger.
No, exactly. And the thing is that, what should we say, as a shipping line, you know, they work what we call the SAIC service of African Europe Container Service, which is a combination of different shipping lines, Maersk being one of the operators that use these huge vessels. So it's not just affecting Maersk containers, it's affecting DAL, One Line, it's affecting all these other operators that all combine to ship on one of these huge vessels. So it's affecting many operators. If the operator makes it decision to bypass, which they obviously do, they don't do unilaterally, they do in amongst the consortium, but it just shows you the actual major effect that it has on industry. And the other thing is that now it's not just the southbound from Europe, we also have the vessels coming in from the east. From China, which you know is a big market for South African imports or Western Cape imports. We have a lot of those vessels just prior to Christmas. We had vessels that were coming in from China, bypassing Cape Town, that were then going up to Point Noir and coming back a month later.
Terry, with an eye on time, what does one do about this? Because it would be extremely expensive, and it's not going to happen to reorientate the harbour. So what does one do?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Listen, they are, and they're interesting parties. Thank you for asking it. That's a good question, obviously. Obviously, I have a passion, so I could talk for hours. So do tell me.
I can hear that.
Quiet. Yeah, to be honest with you, the good thing is, and I always say, out of the bad comes good, we do have a meeting twice a week, a virtual meeting with all the stakeholders under the auspices of the Transnet Group, Transnet National Ports, Transnet Port Terminals, and also Western Cape Government are involved as well to address these issues. So the bottom line is there is quite a certain amount of transparency, and what we've also have been insisting on and is now coming on board is the inland terminal at Belcon, which actually was about 5-6 years ago, came on board, was never really utilized. Now they're looking at that. So when the terminal goes windbound, there is the possibility of containers being dropped off in Belcon, and then they would be railed to the Cape Town terminal, vice versa for import. It has just started within, shall we say, the last month operational, and it operates by train. They have a train. I think they've now had 5 trains with an average of about 38 containers on board. When the reefer business, because obviously in the height of the reefer season, the reefer containers will go straight into the terminal. But it is a long-term solution because it's not going to make a big difference as we sit at the moment. The good thing is, as I say, that we are talking, we are open, we're transparent about what is going on in this forum that we meet every twice a week, which is actually quite a hectic forum as well, under the auspices, say, of our wonderful port manager. So it is coming into the fore. You know, the problem is at the moment, and I think also we must never forget that this is a global situation we're looking at. We just have to look at ports like Singapore that are heavily congested, the ports of the West Coast of America, Long Beach, Los Angeles, San Francisco. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Long Beach had a delay of about 54 days. So globally,
it's not that bad then in global terms, but we would like to improve the situation for us.
We have to look at the picture in the global perspective as well. That is not just a South African thing, and it is being addressed. Obviously, the terminal has to be expanded, but we're working together on this, and that's the incredible thing. And you know, in collaboration, we can achieve miracles if we have to. So,
going to leave it there. That very, very passionate man. It's lovely to talk to somebody who is so happy to be working in the field in which he's working. Terry Gale, the Exporters Club of the Western Cape chairperson.